On Friday, NASA is planning to launch a new weather satellite that will give scientists and meteorologists more advanced warning about extreme weather, like the hurricanes that have devastated Texas, Florida, and the Caribbean this fall. Also, blizzards and floods. This new satellite system will help improve forecasts for these kinds of events up to 7 days out. It's a joint project between NASA and NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Vanessa Griffin is NOAA's Director of Satellite Operations, and she joins me now. Welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
How often does NOAA launch a new satellite like this? Is this a rare event?
Well, we basically have been developing this satellite for almost 15, 20 years. So it's a new generation of weather satellites is a unique thing. As you know, last November, we launched the first of our new geostationary satellites, GOES-16. And this will be the first of our new JPSS, or Joint Polar Satellite System satellite. So we're calling it JPSS-1. So these are, you know, decades in the making. We've been building the instruments, getting the satellite ready, getting the launch vehicle. Okay, now we're ready to go and push that button on next Friday. We're very excited.
Well, let's backtrack a little. What is the state of our nation's weather satellites right now? I mean, for example, did any of the recent storms catch emergency officials off guard because they didn't have good enough information? Are there problems that need to be fixed with our current satellite system?
No, in fact, our current satellites that we have orbiting today, we have the SUMI MPP satellite, and it has five instruments on board that are very similar to the ones that are on JPSS-1. So, in fact, we're basically going to be collecting the same data we have from our current satellite. But it's getting quite old now. It was designed for a five-year life, and it's been 6 years now. So we have to have the new satellite up to make sure we don't have a gap. So if you think about it, you don't want to have a gap in weather satellite coverage like you wouldn't want to have a power outage at your home. A gap would make us unable to do our mission. And, of course, our geostationary satellites, we have currently operating the last generation satellites, and they collected data over the storms this summer. But we had GOES-16 as we're getting ready to move it into operations, and it provided a whole new look at the storm. So it's pretty amazing things from GOES-16, looking at the Irma and Maria and Harvey, the major hurricanes that we had this summer.
I'm talking with Vanessa Griffin. She's NOAA's Director of Satellite Operations. And we're talking about a new weather satellite that is being launched this Friday. Can you give us an example of some of the kinds of information that this new satellite will be able to collect and how that'll be wrapped into these forecasts and help give more advanced warning about them?
Oh, absolutely. So it's a polar orbiting satellite. That means it actually orbits the globe from south to north and south pole to north pole 14 times a day. As it orbits, the Earth spins underneath the satellite. So it's basically getting a look at the weather patterns across the entire globe twice a day. So that's something that we really need for our weather models. Our weather models need to really understand with very high accuracy and reliability what the atmospheric patterns look like at the model time. Then it assimilates all that data, cranks it out, and then starts doing the prediction to try to predict what's going to change in the atmosphere over the next 7 days. And weather satellites have proven to be absolutely invaluable for being able to improve the ability of those models to forecast weather from day 3 to day 7. In fact, if you look at all the data going into the models today, 85% of that data is now coming from our polar weather satellite. So a very important tool for forecasting, for enhancing the ability of these models, for improving their accuracy, their reliability. And of course, with JPSS-1, just making sure, again, that we won't have a gap in this data availability. This data will continue to be acquired over the next two decades.
The forecasting aspect of getting this information obviously is very important. That's the primary mission. But these satellites and the data that they produce are often also used by climate change and atmospheric researchers to try to get longer data sets and understand how our weather systems are changing. Is that something that this satellite will be feeding into as well?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, if you look at climate change and the science behind it, what you really need to do is obviously be able to do really accurate measurement. So you really want to be able to have a very accurate, reliable measurement over time, over two decades, over three decades. We've been collecting satellite data over the whole surface for the last 50 years. But this is a big step up in the accuracy and reliability of that data. So it will definitely allow us to do more intercomparisons between the satellites, allow us to maybe detect things we haven't been able to detect in the past. And it has a lot of uses even beyond, say, weather and climate. It's very useful for understanding ocean state. So it's good information for fisheries. It collects information about volcanic dust, so it gives us information that we need to provide to the airline industry and FAA to do warnings and to keep planes out of, you know, areas of potential trouble due to volcanic ash in the atmosphere. It also is useful for geology and geography purposes, and it has very strong economic benefits across almost every financial sector of the U.S. economy, including agriculture, because these weather satellites provide us the information about how much rain has fallen on the Earth, long-term drought monitoring, precipitation monitoring, all these being very vital for improving the forecast and disproving the analogy and, of course, going into the economic benefit to the United States, being able to have farmers make better decisions about what to plant and when, for instance.
My guest is Vanessa Griffin. She's NOAA's Director of Satellite Operations. Vanessa, the satellite system operations at NOAA has been targeted by the Trump administration for budget cuts. Now, Congress didn't approve those cuts for the coming year. But when you talk about all of these different ways that this satellite data is used for research as well as forecasting, how much does a satellite like this cost, and what kind of bang do you get for your buck when you're talking about a satellite like this?
Well, this particular satellite, JPSS-1, the flight system itself, which is the satellite, the instruments, the rocket, costs about $1.6 billion. But we also had to obviously invest in early research of instruments to develop the design of those instruments. We invested in a brand new ground system to be able to get this data from around the globe into the models much faster. So the total program, the total cost of the program is expensive. There's no question. It's a hefty program, but it's important because without the satellites, you would not see the improvements we've seen up till now in the weather forecast models and the improvements we expect to see over time from the JPSS satellite series, as well as the GOES-R satellite series.
That's Vanessa Griffin. She's NOAA's Director of Satellite Operations. NOAA and NASA are going to be launching a new weather satellite this Friday. Vanessa, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Just ahead, the U.S., Russia, and six other Arctic states have signed an agreement to work together to study the Arctic, and climate change research is a major focus. So how'd that happen?
The agreement effectively was under the radar.
Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.